What's up, now, freaks, sharpness geeks, and purveyors of stabbing goodness? Welcome to the Knife Freak Show. My name is Jonathan McNeese, joined by my co-host, Mr. Chase Boatwright.
Hey, hey, hey.
How are you doing today?
I am making it. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Happy to be back doing another podcast here for the people. We've been continue to get good feedback, which I greatly appreciate. Yeah, makes me excited to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's always it's interesting, you know. It's always like kind of not difficult, but, you know, trying to schedule it and being like, oh, I got to go do that and this and that. But then once we get in here, I'm always like, you know, happy to just sit here and talk for however long. So
yeah, yeah. It is work, but it's yeah. Like you said, when you're actually doing the in the middle of the conversation, it doesn't feel as much like work. So yeah,
yeah, for sure.
But. All right, cool. Well, how was your week?
It was good. Spent a lot of it kind of doing some R&D, working on getting some leather sheaths going for YouTube people. I will be showing it now. I'm not much of a sewer, so I was trying to find a way to do a leather sheath without sewing, and I got some extra long Kydex rivets is basically what they are, or eyelets. And I've been cutting them out with a CO2 laser, and so far I'm pretty happy. Still got some stuff to clean up a little bit design wise, and also my leather working needs improvement for sure. But yeah, so far so good.
Cool. Yeah, that's a cool concept. I like it. Hold on, I can show it to you. I wasn't prepared for this, so bear with me. I think this was the first custom knife I ever bought at a small show up in Pigeon Forge years ago. Actually, it was the first knife show I'd ever even been to. And so it actually uses these little brads or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. So they're not – I like the thought of the eyelet, so you actually have attachment points and stuff. Now, this one obviously has a belt loop, but, yeah, it's the same deal. It's all – I don't know if it's glued. I assume it is because it feels pretty tight, you know, like the edges feel like they're probably glued together and then just held together with those brads. And I'll confess, I've never really carried it, like to see how the sheath holds up, but actually one of the things I liked about it when I bought it was the sheath. I thought it was a really cool looking little sheath. So anyway, so yeah, I like that concept a lot. That's cool. That's cool. So that's kind of been your main thing you've been working on. Yeah. Out of the ordinary, at least.
And like you were saying, like I did glue this one, but then I tried one that wasn't glued, and so far they seem to be about equal. I couldn't really tell much of a difference as far as the gluing versus the not gluing sort of thing. But, you know, I've got this one, like you were saying, the eyelets for the attachment points. I've got an ulti clip on it right now, so I've been carrying it since I made it, just in the pocket. And that way, you know, you can also, I think it's deep enough where you could run it horizontally and not have any issues about it falling out and stuff. So
that's cool.
It's just what I'm a big fan of leather. I've just never been good at making leather in any of my attempts. None of it comes intuitively. And it's just difficult. I mean, mad respect to any leather workers out there, because it's not an easy thing.
It's its own set of skills. It's its own craft, and I greatly admire the people 100%. That can do it. Yeah. What ounce leather are you using?
I think it's 8 to 9 ounce or maybe 7 to 8 ounce.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
That was always. Yeah. That's what I read in all of the old school knife making books. And I've tried to use some thinner leather before, but it just, once it gets super thin, or once it gets, you know, pretty thin, I mean, it's still just skin. We're putting sharp objects in there, and it can be cut. So I'd rather it be thicker, more robust, and not, you know, let somebody get stabbed in the leg. So, especially 100%. If it's going to be a pocket sheath or something, you know.
Right. I've seen a few other sheaths over the years, you know, where people either just on cheap knives, where they're like cheap production sheaths or whatever, that are made out of the flimsy leather and stuff. And that just, But if you're being able to do it out of a decent thickness leather and it's holding together good, then that's great. Yeah. That gives it a cool look.
I really like the look. It's more, I guess, my style than, I don't know. It gives it a little bit more modern look with the sort of old school material, and I like to blend those two things as much as I can. So,
yep.
What about you? What you been up to this week?
Well, let's see. Pretty much a normal week this week, I think. We've got the new machines up and running pretty smoothly now. We've got things running pretty smoothly. We've got a part-time helper that we've hired to works mostly on the weekends. He's a high school kid. Don't say that as like to be derogatory in any way, but young guy. So far is doing really well. He's actually out there right now, running blades through the loading and unloading blades on the CNC, grinding blades, which has been a fact that he's been able to kind of, you know, be able to teach him that quick. That makes him a big benefit of being able to grind extra blades on the weekend. Well, that really, really helps to keep us up and running on production. And as we get a little bit more ahead, it'll really help with me being able to prototype some new stuff on there. I'm really wanting to get some fixed blades on there and stuff. So, but yeah, pretty normal week. Other than that, we made a, I won't go into it too deeply because it was kind of a long story, but so we have to haul off all of our chips and stuff and scrap, you know, to a metal recycling place. Unfortunately, we don't produce enough to be valuable enough to them for them to come pick it up from us. So the place that I'd been going to is just a kind of small place, and they didn't take titanium. So I found another place close enough to take titanium, although we're apparently only the second customer that they've ever had that had titanium. And apparently they were they're this pretty big factory pretty close by. And from what they described, they had some titanium that was from some sort of it was something like almost like a something came in like as like packaging or whatever, like, but huge, you know what I'm saying? Like a crate or something. I don't know what they described it. I forget what exactly they said, but it wasn't like they weren't working with titanium like we are. Like it wasn't like chips and scrap parts and stuff. So anyway, so I went with a mixture of, we have mixed metals that come out of the machines, like when we're doing blades and when we make pallets, it creates aluminum. And then there's always a little bit of titanium that gets mixed in. And then we tried all the stuff that's pure titanium scrap parts for one thing, which I can't tell you how sick it almost made me to see all the scrap parts. Cause this is the first time since we've been over here in this shop, we've been collecting up the titanium since then. So it was a lot of scrap parts, and it really hurt my feelings, but they're out of here, out of sight. Now they won't be hurting my feelings every time I walk by and look at them in the buckets and bins. So, I had that. We had stuff that was separated out as pure titanium. We had mixed metal barrels, and we had some random stuff. Like I had an old washer from the house that I needed to haul off and stuff. And so totally blew their minds. Like could not get them to understand that what was in these barrels was different than what was in these barrels. They weren't used to taking titanium. They took a couple of pieces of it to test it, I guess, and make sure I wasn't full of crap. That it was actually titanium. They had two separate scales set up for ferrous and non-ferrous stuff. So I had to like weigh in, go in, dump the washer. And apparently this was on me. I didn't realize they have an actual separate like pile for turnings or like chips and stuff. And so for places like most of the places, I think are probably way bigger than us. Cause the pile of stuff I saw there was like these big, like turning chips off of like a lathe, like big parts. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, we'd have to weigh in, dump one variety, weigh back out, go back, do it again, go to the other scale, weigh, and it was, but anyway, we got it done, and it was quite the adventure, but we got it done, and it's all good, so, but it was, I think it blew their mind and mine, too. I think we were there at the recycling place for about 2 hours, and this was for, I don't know how many, it was like, is this not some, like, huge, huge truckload or trailer load? I mean, it was a average size trailer I had three big like 30 gallon garbage cans and three rolling bins that are probably 25 gallons, something like that. And then the washer, a few scrap pieces from a shelf, and then some carbide. And it took us 2 hours to get all that taken care of. So yeah, anyway, quite the adventure, but it's done. Cleared some space out in the shop all as well.
Yeah.
So like that's pretty much our week. We did have those of you that are follow closely on Instagram have already seen we did throw a new pattern in there on the Dixons this week that I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to make you go. If you haven't seen it, you got to go to our Instagram to see it. So it's not a finished part. It just shows you like a teaser pick of it.
Yeah, I guess I missed that.
But you missed it. Okay, so Utah is the like the beehive state or something like that. So that'd give you a pretty big clue as to what we did because we're doing them for – it won't be exclusive to the show, but the first ones we're going to have are going to be for the Utah show for Blade West. So that was something new that we did this week, which was pretty cool. So speaking of that, probably a good time to segue on into talking about the upcoming show.
Yeah. So yeah, going to be here.
We've got
rather
Blade
soon.
West coming up
October 10th.
So
11th.
By the time you guys start listening to this, it will be the following week. We're recording this on the weekend. So it's week out. What are the actual dates on it? The 8th and 9th or something like that. So
it's 10th and 11th.
10th and 11th. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we'll be leaving out, not this week that you're listening to this, but next week we'll be leaving out midweek to head out there and get ready to do that and see all you fine folks that can make it out to Blade Show West. So,
yeah, should be fun.
Excited. Yeah, this is only our second year doing it. It was a lot of fun last year, so pretty cool place there. Salt Lake City is way different than middle of nowhere Alabama, I can tell you that. So, looks way different.
I can imagine.
It's pretty cool. So really looking forward
to
that.
Do you have any extracurriculars planned while you're out there?
No, I don't think because like I touched on last week, we got to do a pretty quick turnaround because we've got to, we'll get home like Sunday night and by, I think Thursday, I don't remember if it's Wednesday or Thursday. I get in the truck when Amy tells me to get in the truck, basically. So I never know when exactly I'm leaving. But I think it's Thursday we leave out for Pigeon Forge to go to the Smoky Mountain Knife Works Rep weekend. So we have a really tight window there. And so, unfortunately, no time for an extra day of playing or anything like that, which I would love to do. But so.
Yeah, I'd love to go out there and see some of the national parks and stuff like that out west, but just hadn't made it out there yet.
I can't remember if I talked about it on here yet or not, but last year we did rented a Toro, we rented a truck and we did some driving around. We went up to where did we go? We went out to Antelope Island for one thing, which is a really cool place that has buffalo roaming around out there, like bison, which was super cool. Some really cool views and stuff out there. Get to see the Salt Lake. That kind of stuff. So, and then we went a couple of other places. I can't remember where. I'll just kind of some general sightseeing. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Definitely a different landscape than here. So, pretty cool. So, we will be at booth 226.
One thing before
we are going to have some.
Yep.
Say that again.
No, go ahead.
So yeah, we'll be at booth 226. We're going to have a pretty good variety of Dixons, some Mac 2s, and we will have some special. We're not going to have anything we're technically calling a show special, but we are going to have, like I said, some new stuff for the show. So look forward to you guys coming to see us.
Yeah. Hope y'all have a lot of fun out there and do a lot of good business as well. But before we get too far, speaking of this last week as well, also noticed you, one thing I didn't miss was that you made a little surprise appearance on USMA Blade's live stream.
Yep, we did do that. That was a lot of fun. I'm going to try to start doing stuff like that more often. Witty asked we would like to be on there, and so I was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So we hopped on there and answered some questions and just ran my mouth in general. So, and Witty's always really good about, when he does a live, he saves it in his feed or whatever. So if any of you that didn't see it can go back and check it out if you're interested. And there was a couple of pretty decent questions and stuff about what we've got upcoming and that kind of stuff. And I went fairly in depth on why some of the stuff that I know some of you guys are waiting on hasn't gotten done yet and that kind of stuff. So that'd be a good thing to go check out if you're interested.
For sure. But back to Blade Show, we did want to kind of remind everybody of a little bit of show etiquette things that we try to talk about every time there's a show coming up, and just some general things to remember while you're at a show or, you know, doing something like that. Did you have one to lead off, or you want me to lead off?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess my first one is more of like a tip or a, you know, just a survival aid for shows and stuff. Hydrate and be sure to bring some sort of food or snack or something. Even though it's only a 2-day show, not a 3-day show, it's still a lot of walking, a lot of talking, a lot of stuff like that. So bring, you know, bring a water bottle, like one of the metal water bottle type things. And bring some, you know, whatever your favorite, you know, travelable sort of snacks are, like whether it's crackers or Nutri-Grain bars or whatever you eat, whatever will work that will just be food. Be sure to do that, because often in these convention centers, it's not necessarily like, you know, food being provided right there. Sometimes it is. I don't know how Salt Lake is, but
yeah, they,
you know, it's also easier just to go ahead and,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of times you're going to be excited and you're not going to want to leave the show or whatever, especially like some of the people that are, you know, trying to make it to specific tables or getting in on lotteries or whatever. You don't want to let yourself get too far gone so before you can make it out there. Yeah. So, yeah, something in your pocket or your backpack is definitely a good idea.
Yeah, it's really easy to lose track of time and all of a sudden it's 3:30 and you haven't ate anything or drank anything since, you know, breakfast or whatever. So just that'd be my first, I guess, sort of just survival tip for shows and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'll piggyback off of that and say that when you do go, if you just do decide to go out to the concession and get you a big old thing of nachos or something like that, and a beer or a drink, don't come to the maker's table and start setting your stuff down on their table because that happens, believe it or not. And I get it. Like, you wanting to try to make the most out of your time. So you're walking and eating and looking while you do it. And you see something you want to pick up, your hands are full, but try to be respectful of them. And that's the maker's display. That's, you know, who knows what the value of what all they've got on the table is, you know, probably thousands at least, if not tens of thousands of dollars worth of product on the table. And we've had drinks spilled on ours more than once. Just, you know, it's certainly not something that I just get super upset over, but it's just a good idea to not be setting anything down on a maker's table, especially food and drink. So, and, you know, leaving crumbs all over their table and that kind of stuff. So just on the topic of food and stuff, I would say, you know, just in general, be respectful of the maker's exhibit. Like, they've gone to a lot of work to have product there. Most of us go to a fair amount of work to get our setup looking the way we want it and all that. And, all it takes is one spilled drink or one whatever, and it can mess up the rest of the show for the maker. So just be courteous with that and respectful, you know, not that big of a deal.
100%. And on that, on just sort of being courteous, you know, most of the time, nobody's going to care for you to pick up the knife and look at it, but just simply asking is a way of showing respect and letting that maker know that you have that knife, that when they look down and it's not where it's supposed to be, that you have it. It's just a simple, you know, form of respect for that maker, for that product, to be like, hey, do you mind if I pick this up? And 99.9% of the time, people will say yes. If they don't want it to be picked up, generally it will be either at the back of the table, or in some cases I've seen people put stuff in glass boxes and stuff, like for open bids and really high art knife sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I understand it. I'm not going to, you know, bemoan anybody that doesn't. I'm just saying that most of the time the makers will be happy to let you check it out. That's why they're at the show is most of the time.
Right. And it's also a good conversation starter. You know, I mean, now you walk up to my table, you're probably going to get blasted with conversation, because I'm obviously, as you guys know, I'm sure I'm a talker, but some of these makers honestly are a little, you know, shy about starting up a conversation with customers and stuff. And it's not that they're not good folks or want to talk to you. It's just, they just, you know, they're human beings too, and they're not necessarily that great at starting up a conversation. So that's a great way to kind of break the ice and, you know.
A lot of the personalities that want to, you know, sit alone in their garage or, you know, in their basement or whatever and make knives, aren't necessarily the most outgoing type of personalities as well. Yep. And so, you know, you got to kind of take that in in stride when you're dealing with
that sort of thing. That's a really good point. I think a lot of people, you know, which probably makes sense why I have turned ours into a production company, because, you know, I like being around people. So, you know, instead of sitting alone in my garage, now I have a shop full of people to hang out with every day. So, that kind of makes sense, actually, now that you say that. That's a good observation.
But just asking before you pick up a knife, or, you know, just being respectful of the knife in general, like, you know, no wrist flicking it open, no, you know, wicked spider hole, you know, reverse pinky flick, you know, nonsense. Just open the knife normal. Be, you know, respectful of the fact that you don't own that knife, and, you know, go from there. So,
definitely agree. Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think the other thing too, and like most of what we're saying is kind of stuff towards geared towards the makers or whatever, like the customer's interaction with the maker, but be just generally kind, respectful, and courteous to the other attendees as well. Because like, guys, like for a few things, like one, this is mostly like the beginning of the show, like when the doors open, but we all, you know, those of you that have been at shows have seen it, or a lot of you have seen videos of it. Everybody goes rushing in and they're running, you know, running or fast walking or whatever to get to a table. Like, it's all cool. It's exciting. We like it because it's, you know, it's exciting for us to see people wanting to get in there bad enough that they're literally running. But be careful. Don't run over people. You know, don't mess around and cause an accident. You are in a room full of a bunch of sharp stuff. So, like, be careful. Be respectful for each other. And when you're, like, standing at somebody's table and stuff, and you see other customers walk up or whatever, and like if you're just standing there shooting the breeze with the maker or whatever, you're not, you know, just seriously buying or whatever, then, you know, you can tell somebody's trying to look. Or even if you are shopping, like if you can, you know, just be aware that there's other people around you trying to do stuff too. So just, you know, in general, be kind and polite to everybody around you. And
That kind of covers a lot of these.
Does. That's kind of, like, if you can just say be kind and courteous and think about other people, whether it's, you know, the maker or the other customers, either one, that's it in a nutshell. Or I like to say be nice. That's just that's it.
But like, a lot of guys will wear a backpack. If you are wearing a backpack, that's fine. Just be aware that you have an extra, you know, 12 to 18 inches sticking off the back of you, depending on how full this thing is. And, you know, keep that in mind while you're navigating through the aisles and stuff, and don't whip around quickly, or, you know, keep in mind of your surroundings and other people. And I guess, that the be kind and courteous to other people is, and, you know, like you said, you know, if you see somebody trying to get in, like I've been at that, in that situation before, and I'm like, yeah, come on in, man. And, you know, kind of help bring them into the to the table that you're looking at or whatever. And, like, you know, invite them into the circle or whatever. Invite them into, you know, in the experience of looking at knives together and stuff. So, just, you know, that's what we're all there is for the community, for other people. And, you know, so just try to, be courteous, be nice.
That sums up a big part of it, you know. And also, I'll say the last thing I'll say is, and this is just kind of like a personal pet peeve or whatever, like, also be courteous and nice. Look there. That was a pun intended. Maybe be courteous and nice something to the staff that puts on the show, guys. Don't, like, put your garbage in a garbage can. Like, when you're in the bathroom, like, nearly every time, you know, we go to one of these shows, we end up going there and there's paper towels all over the floor. There's crap left on the sinks. Like, be an adult. Pick up after yourself. Throw your stuff in the garbage. You know, even if you see something sitting around that's not yours, that's garbage, then throw it away. Like, you don't, you know, if everybody does that, you know, kind of the same principle as grabbing a stray buggy out of the Walmart or Lowe's parking lot when you go to Lowe's and you see one sitting out there, like, take it to the corral. Like, be a good human being, be a responsible person. Like, that just makes everybody's experience better. Nobody likes to go in, you know, have to go take a bathroom break and go stand in a quarter inch of pee on the floor and, you know, paper towels all over the floor and all that crap. Like, just, you know, be nice, decent adult human beings and pick up after yourself and even maybe go the extra mile to pick up after somebody else if they weren't being that kind of person. So, and that's a good general life lesson anytime, but since we're talking about the show, let's apply it there.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely always one of those things you see. And sometimes it seems this past year in Atlanta, it was actually seemed to be pretty good. I will say. But
yeah, I agree. You know,
there's also been years where, like, you know, it's been all weekend. It seems like, you know, they'll clean it up, and then the next time you go, you know, an hour later, 2 hours later, there's paper towels everywhere again. It's like, how do we not understand this concept? You take the paper towel, you dry your hands, you put it in the garbage can. It's simple. Like, let's just do that.
To close that out, I'll just say, like I said, that's a good habit to be in anytime. And as an older guy, you know, that's been around a little bit, like, that is a pretty good indication of the outcome of your life in general is how you act about that kind of stuff. Like, you've probably heard the saying of how you do one thing is how you do everything. So, like, if you're the kind of person that leaves a mess for somebody else to clean up, doesn't care about, you know, what they're doing and how it affects other people, chances are your life's going to reflect that. So maybe one of those things where you start at the basics and work your way up, and you might be shocked at how much of an impact it can have on your life in general.
Yeah, so for sure.
Quick dad moment for you there.
I like the philosophical turn we took there.
Yeah. So, all right. So having said that, I feel like while we're on the topic of etiquette, there's a few things that I think Chase and I would both like to address as far as outside of shows, the knife community in general. Right. And this is not necessarily, some of it's stuff that we've experienced. Some of it's just stuff that we've observed. I think we'll probably get into this a little more when some of the individual points, but I think a lot of it honestly is reflective of society in general and how it's changed with so much of our interactions being online now versus in person. I honestly think that a lot of the problems and a lot of the things probably that we're going to point out, the root of them is that we've gotten so used to things not being as personal. We view them that way, at least. Like, we forget that there's somebody else on the other end of that username that we're commenting to or whatever, right? Like, it's way different. I can tell you this. I have seen... is a completely different bunch of interactions that you will see online in people's comments and stuff versus what you see in person at a show. So, and it's because people know when they're at a show and in person, they're not so quick to make a negative comment or to just be a jerk or whatever. We stop and think about what we're doing more. We've gotten so used to being, you know, honestly just more rude and, you know, crass and whatever online. And I think that has definitely affected, I mean, everybody in every, you know, community, but it definitely affects our community as well. I just wanted to point out a couple of things that we've observed that I think as a community, I hope that by this point that you guys understand that, and this goes for Chase too, I know, but that for us, for our brand, like, a big part of what we want to do is to be a good influence on the industry in general and help the industry in general, like, not just to sell knives, but to help individual people, help the industry, be a positive influence. And, you know, even down to our employees, like, you know, one of my goals as an employer is to try to make better people. Like, most of my guys are pretty much all fairly young. Most of them are real young, honestly. And so my goal is to help them develop into even better mature adults and stuff. So don't take this as like a, you know, just a complaint session. We truly want to make the industry and the community better. And I think some of this stuff, just like the things we're just talking about with the show, I mean, it all comes down to pretty basic common courtesy. But again, there's a few things that we've observed that I feel like are probably worth addressing. And then we'd love it if you guys, when we're done with this today, I'm sure there's tons of other things that you guys see that, you know, you can give us feedback and we can maybe, you know, address those on a follow-up show later or whatever to see some of the call them pet peeves or whatever if you want to, but just, you know, things where we people need that to be. Yeah, we did the pet peeves. I know this is kind of, it's kind of the same thing, but more so, I mean, pet peeves can technically be something that is not necessarily somebody doing something wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody might have a pet peeve of seeing a knife with a particular feature on it or whatever, or just whatever. But like, I'm talking more about things where people kind of need an attitude adjustment or just their eyes opened up to something maybe they haven't thought about, you know?
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest things that I see that is, I think, totally attributed to what I was saying about how we've gotten so used to so much for interactions being online is whether it be on social media or whether it be in emails, I think people have a really hard time portraying a good tone with their written word. You know what I mean? Like people that I know good and well would not come off the way they do if they were talking to you in person, but can come across like a total jerk or whatever in an email or a comment, right? We've all seen that. And we've probably all been guilty of it, honestly. You know, we may assume that we're not being that way, but that doesn't mean that somebody else is not interpreting it that way when they read our comment or our email. So,
yeah. I mean, I know I've definitely done it. And then, like, either, you know, it's early in the morning and I just, you know, shoot off a quick email or whatever to a company if I'm having an issue or whatever. And then I go back and read it later and I'm like, didn't quite use my words tactfully there. I just kind of went in a little blunt, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, I guarantee you we've all done it. And I'll say guilty. I don't technically have a problem with, like, especially like if you're emailing back and forth with somebody, you know, I don't think every email has to be just super formal, right? If you're initiating contact with somebody, then it's probably good to be a little bit more formal. Like, hey, you know, how you doing? Wanted to talk to you about this, blah, blah, blah. Then when you start going back and forth in the emails, you know, and when usually it's like, hi, sir or madam, or, you know, like when we're responding to somebody, it's like, hey, you know, hey, Chase, whatever. But by the time we go back and forth through three or four emails, you know, I'm probably down to where I'm not putting hey, Chase at the beginning of it. I'm probably just like making the statement like, hey, sounds like you got an issue with such and such. We'll get this taken care of, do this for you, whatever. Like, and, you know, most of us, you know, we're typing on our phone. I know, like for me, sometimes I get just totally frustrated even trying to type out three freaking sentences on my phone because between my thumbs being big and phones being what they are, like, it's like it may take me redoing an autofill and all that, putting crap in there that I didn't even come close to meaning to type. You know, me trying to tell somebody you need to tighten your pivot screw and it's something about their cat having rabies or something that pops up on my freaking screen. So
the quarter inch of calluses don't help with the typing either.
Yeah. So anyway, I definitely have a tendency to try to make things short and sweet as much as possible. But I can also see how sometimes people might take that as me being a little curt or short with them. And that's definitely not, you know, not the case. Typically, if I'm trying to be a little, you know, short with somebody or whatever for what I deem to be a valid reason, then I try to make sure that they can tell that, you know, I try to not leave much room for interpretation, which is very rare. But anyway, just being aware that your tone and written word it takes a little bit more thought and effort. You don't have all the voice inflection, all that stuff that you do, the facial expressions when you're talking to somebody in person. So just be aware that of how you potentially coming across when you read that to somebody that, you know what you mean, but you got to think about somebody that's receiving that it's just out of the blue to them. Like, how's it going to read to them? Right.
Yeah.
So, and then you brought up a good point, something I think, especially when this is more specific, like when you're dealing with a company, I think there's so much crappy customer service and stuff out there these days, combined with how spoiled we all are to instant gratification and all that people just automatically assume when they have a problem or they need to reach out to a company about something, that if they don't come at them with guns blazing, that they're not going to get any attention and they're not going to get their problem taken care of. And so they come in a little hot right off the bat because they want to make sure, you know, their experiences they've had in the past with other companies and all the crappy customer service makes them feel like that if they don't do something to get that person's attention right off the bat, then they're not going to get their problem fixed. And, you know,
they got hair raised and calls out before, immediately, you know,
right.
Yeah. Before anything even happens. Yeah.
Right. So I would urge you to, especially if it's somebody that, you know, like I feel like we have a pretty good reputation for our customer service and stuff. Like we're going to help you out. We're going to take care of you. Like, you're probably going to have, just to be totally honest, you're probably going to have your problem taken care of a lot better and a lot quicker and all that. If you come at us, I'm not saying you got to come in hat in hand, you know, could you please, like, but just like a normal human being, like, don't come at us like attacking us right off the bat, because we're humans too. And, you know, we're probably not going to react to that well. Like, that's just human nature. So, you know, it's much better to just approach it as a mild mannered, normal, you know, you don't have to take it overboard and be just, you know, apologetic or anything, but just be a normal, reasonable, like you would if you're telling us in person, you know, like there's no reason to, you know, to come at, and I would recommend that unless you have a history with a company that warrants that, then that's probably the best way to approach most situations. Most of the time you're going to come out better by being nice. And then if you have to ramp it up, because the second you start off being aggressive on the first email or the first contact with them, they're already writing you off as a jerk right there. And they're not going to be as prone to help you, you know, especially if it's something where it's like, maybe they have to bend their policy a little bit to help you out or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you're probably not getting that if you're coming if it's out not aggressive right off the bat.
Yeah. If it's a problem, but not like a warranty problem, that's when those rules start to get hard lines. Whereas if you're, you know, nicer about it, lines can be softened and, you know, kind of wiggle room is allowed.
Right.
Through a little bit of respect and decorum.
That's right. So that honestly probably covers 80% of the issues out there as far as, you know, people not getting along well or whatever in the community. And that's not just true of companies. Like, I know there's tons of people having interactions on the secondary market and stuff too. Same deal. Like, you buy something from somebody or whatever, and then you need to contact them about something, or, you know, they didn't send you the tracking number or whatever. Like, try starting off being a little kind and understanding first, and then see where it goes before you have to, you know, leave yourself some room to shift gears. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, leave yourself some room to escalate if need be. If you come in at a 5 right off the bat on a scale of 1 to 5, then you're not leaving yourself any room to escalate if you need to, you know. And I would much prefer to come in at a 1, and then if we have to take it to 5, then we'll take it to 5, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I know one you wanted to kind of mention was like canceling orders.
Yeah. This is one more that I just want to make people aware, because I honestly don't think before I was on being the business side of it, as a consumer, it's probably not something I ever thought about or even realized. Once you say it, it makes total sense, but I think probably most people don't think about this. So if you go on a website, guys, and you order something, and then you decide, and for us, it's usually like it's a knife. You know, people get caught up in the hype of a drop. They want to grab one. And then 9.5 times out of 10, regardless of what they say is the excuse, they buy the knife, and then they have every intention of going through with the purchase. But then their spouse finds out that they get the email or text notification about a purchase, and they put the kibosh on it and tell them, nope, you know, we're not doing that. And so then they come back, hey, I need to cancel this order. Well, guys, what you got to understand is that as a company, once the credit card runs your company, not the credit card company, but the credit card processor, once the company that processes your credit card runs that card, they take their fees out of it, which are typically like 3 to 4%. And we're not getting those back. Like, if we refund you your money, they did what they were supposed to do. They ran your card. They did their job. They processed your card. they're keeping that 3-4%. We're not getting it back, right? And so, like, if you think of something like the price of the Dixons that we're selling now, you know, every time somebody cancels an order, you're looking at probably $15 to $20 that we're just out if we don't pass that on to the customer, right?
Yeah.
And we've done some of both. We try not to if we don't have to, but, you know, if you have very many cancellations, you can't, you know, you can't stand to eat $15 or $20 a pop just indefinitely.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially if they're repeat offenders as well. Like, you know, if there's certain people that, you know, get excited and buy a knife and then regret it in the morning, and, you know, that does happen.
Know,
that's why companies have like stocking fees.
Right. Right. And that's not to count the time it takes to, you know, it may not seem like much, but every time you do that, somebody has to take time to go into the system and do the actual, you know, paperwork, if you want to call it that or whatever, to do the refund, which is not
terrible. Do the refund, put the knife back in stock.
That's right.
Do the correspondence.
It's been taken out of inventory and it go back in inventory. Like, the correspondence. So it, you know, it adds up to, you know, not a ton of time, but you get very many of them and it adds up to a pretty good bit of time. And then, like I said, that coupled with losing those fees, that was the biggest thing that I, you know, like I said, I can't say that I ever thought about that. I probably would have been one of those people that I can't remember ever canceling an order, but I can imagine if I had before being on this end of it and they had charged me a restocking fee, I probably would have not been very happy about it. But now I can see why, because it's literally costing them money if not, because you decided to change your mind. Right. And so the company really shouldn't have to be out money and time and resources because you changed your mind about something. Now, we're not talking about like returns, like there was something wrong with the knife, you're unhappy with that. I'm talking about just straight up like canceling an order, like, you know, before it even ships. Like, hey, same thing can be true with returns if it's not for an actual legitimate reason. You know, same deal. Yeah. You've got, you know, and you've got even more time in it then. The company's taking the time to package it up, you know, do all the shipping stuff, send it to you, you know, deal with the correspondence back and forth, you ship it back. And these, you know, even mid-sized, decent-sized companies, because the bigger that you are, the bigger you only have a fairly small percentage of people that either cancel or return stuff. Like ours is a very small percentage, but the bigger you get, that percentage, if that percentage stays the same, that still ended up equaling a whole lot more people, right? So if you're doing, you know, selling 10 things versus selling 10,000, but it's still the same 1% that's doing that. Well, that for the people selling 10,000, that's a pretty big percentage or a pretty big overall amount. So just something to be aware of, you know, try not to do things like that, because that kind of stuff, nickel and dime and stuff like that especially a smaller company, but even a mid-size or pretty good size company, that can add up. And, you know, you want them to be able to, that factors into as well. You know, we've talked about before all the different things that factor into pricing and why companies have to charge what they do. Well, you have to be able to make a profit. You have to be able to keep your people paid, keep the doors open, pay all your bills. Well, if you're having to pay out extra credit card fees constantly for a product that you're not actually selling, that factors into that. It makes it a lot harder to keep your prices down if you're just basically blowing money because other people are being wishy-washy or whatever. So you want people's prices to be lower. Don't make them waste money.
Yeah. And on that note, something you actually just dubbed a term for it, before we started recording here, is the customer bully culture, your terminology, but basically what I was trying to put out there. And that's the, you know, sort of the Karen culture that we live in today, where people try to get more than what they paid for by making it a hassle for companies and stuff. And that's just, can't think of words right now, but it's wrong. First of all, just, you know, immediately wanting, you know, because one thing may be slightly messed up, you know, wanting to get two more in return, or, you know, trying to work the system in your favor. And that's not necessarily something I think, that's not something I've ever experienced in my business or, you know, I'm not sure if you have either, but I know it's, you know, sort of with Amazon and stuff like that and a lot of online shopping, people think, you know, oh, they can return stuff. And if it's, you know, cheap enough, people will just let them, they'll just let them keep it.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, get the money back too. And, you know, sort of have your cake and eat it too situation. And, you know, that's one of those things that just bothers me, really. I don't know if it necessarily correlates to anything on my business or your business, but it just bothers me.
No, it does. Yeah, it does. Actually, we've had a, so what I would say, like what you're talking about, is basically they're trying to take advantage, and they're trying to do it by, you know, and sometimes it's with threats of, you know, putting them on blast online or whatever, but like they, you know, and look, there is nothing wrong with holding a company accountable for making something right. Every company makes mistakes. There's nothing wrong with the company. You know, the company should do the right thing by the customer 100%.
Yes.
But at the same time,
and the customer should do the right thing too, though.
Right. And the kind of people that you're talking about are the same kind of people that would be like ambulance chasers if they were lawyers. You know what I mean? Like they're that litigious, you know, like, oh, you walk too close to me, I'm going to sue you. Like, just, it's just that same kind of people that want to get a gotcha or a take advantage of a situation any chance that they get. And that, yes, that's, I think we all can agree that like ambulance chasing lawyers and stuff is, you know, while maybe legal, is not ethical. And same thing was, is true for what you're talking about with the customers. And I don't really see it as a, at least for us, I'm sure that big companies, especially like companies like you said, like Amazon and stuff, where like people figure out, you know, hey, if I tell them that something's wrong with this, they'll, you know, and it's an item that's bulky to ship or whatever, they're just going to let me, they're just going to tell me to keep it or whatever. And then they, so they, there might not be anything wrong with it. They find the slightest little flaws, just basically looking for a reason to try to take advantage of the situation. And yes, that is definitely not ethical in my book. I will tell you, the, without naming an actual name, I will tell you what we experienced recently with that. So we had a customer that, he's bought a couple of knives from us. But let me start this off with saying this customer for months, if not a year or more before he ever bought a knife, would send us these emails where it's like kind of half joking or whatever, but it's these weird, like whatever, like weird sense of humor stuff, and constantly telling us how we should do this or we shouldn't do that. We should do this better and this and that. Again, never even owned a knife at this point. Finally broke down and bought a knife. Now he's bought a couple more, and still almost every time it comes with a, you know, some kind of weird whatever, like something that we should be doing different or better or whatever. And then not really a complaint, just this like nothing that he's necessarily experienced, just this observation of like whatever. Well, so then this time he buys a knife, and let me think, he said he wanted us to throw him in a custom, one of our padded cases that the knives do not typically come with, right? Everybody knows how our knives are packaged, right? And so here's the thing. If he had just said, hey, you know, this is my second or third knife or whatever that I bought from you guys, you know, I'd love to have one of those custom cases if you wouldn't mind throwing it in for a good customer or whatever, we'd have thrown him one in, been happy to do it, and, you know, no problem. But instead he comes at us telling us that something about, well, last time you obviously forgot to throw in the padded custom case, so maybe you need to fix that this time, make a correction and send it or whatever. And at that point, like I said earlier, guys, you come at, I don't know about everybody else, it's probably true of most people, you come at us being a jerk, like you're probably not getting whatever you're wanting. Like that's, I'm not caving to bullies and jerks. No. It's just not, I'm not built that way. So, and I told him about, like, those don't come with them and whatever. And then came back with some other, you know, smart ass response about, and then, oh, well, you may want to rethink that decision. You may lose business over this. And I'm like, fine, like, don't buy another knife. I don't care. But you're not, if you just asked nice, I would have given you one. But there's no way in hell you're getting a case now. And then, you know, I don't remember. I think finally he quit responding back or whatever. And then ended up buying another knife on this past week's drop. And I'll be honest with you, I had told Amy that if he bought another knife from us, we were refunding him. And he was basically on the do not sell list. Just so you guys know, I am 100% willing to do that. So, like if you're a total jerk and you're going to be a pain in the back, just if you're going to be a jerk every time we have to deal with you for no reason, then I'd rather not deal with you. Like that's plain and simple.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it. But anyway, so, He bought another one, and he had to throw some, oh, well, number one. And then he did a review on our site and gave us like a 4-star instead of a 5-star or whatever. And his basically his only complaint was that because he thought it ought to come with a padded case, and we weren't willing to give him a padded case. So that's a that is a trying to sabotage our business and bring down our reviews and stuff because you thought that the knife, even though you knew up front, you bought more than one from us, you've seen plenty of unboxing videos, you know how our knives are packaged. If you didn't think that there was enough value in the knife and the way we do it for what you paid for it, then you shouldn't have bought it.
Then
don't buy it. And come trying to say that we should be throwing in free stuff for you. And if not, we're somehow the bad guys. And if that deserves, you know, a less than stellar review just because you wanted extra out of there. This is 100% what you're talking about of somebody trying to be a bully to try to get their way. And so then buys a knife on this past week's drop and still makes some kind of smart ass comment about the case or whatever. Well, I was that close to just saying, I told Amy, I was like, cancel his order. He's never buying anything else from us. Like anything he orders from us going forward, just cancel it. I'll eat the credit card fees that we were talking about a while ago. I don't care. And she was like, no, you know what? We're just never responding to him again in an email, unless he has a legitimate concern, of course. Like we were just never responding anymore to his emails. If he wants to keep spending money, we'll keep taking it. So I was like, all right, that's fine. But I'm not communicating with this dude anymore. Like, do not be a jerk. And like for no reason, like, again, all you had to do was be nice. We've given out plenty of those padded cases to people. Like all you had to do was be nice and you couldn't do it. So no, I'm never helping you with anything that I don't have to again, period. So, and if y'all think I'm the only one like that, I'm not, I promise you.
No. I'm not nearly the scale you are, obviously, but like, yeah, that definitely, and a lot of the people I know, though, it wouldn't work that way. But I mean, I'm wondering if he had talked to another customer and they were like, oh, on my third one, they, you know, or third or fourth one, they sent me a padded case for free or whatever.
Yeah.
And
it's not impossible.
Like, he was just
based off of all the prior. All the prior jerkish things that he said and done. Like I said, I mean, it was literally months, if not a year or more, that we would just randomly, every couple of months, we would just randomly get this email about, you know, basically how he likes our products, but then at the same time dogging us out. It's like, dude, like just either buy something or go away. I don't care, but just leave me alone.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was a perfect example that literally just happened to us over the past like 2 weeks. So yes, don't try to be a bully because it's like I said, you know, I love our customers and I think everybody that deals with us knows this. I love our customers. We try to treat them great. We try to treat them like royalty, but if you're a jerk, like y'all know I'm putting the wrong arm. Y'all know that the be nice thing is my motto, but being nice does not mean letting people run over you. As a matter of fact, it's kind of the opposite. Like you know, letting people run over you is not the same thing as being nice. So just because, you know, somebody is being nice and preaches being nice and all that does not mean that they're going to let you run all over them. Like that's not, if they do, they're just letting you basically get by with it, encouraging you to do that to other people. And that's not being nice. I would rather put my foot down and let somebody learn a lesson from it than to them to go on treating everybody else that way. So anyway, yeah, that was, 100%. that's a frustrating one and one that I'm not going to put up with personally. So, yeah, that's a good point. Close to wrapping it up on these.
All right. Got a few more written down. What do you want to go to next? The next thing I had written down was like the brand new inbox secondary market sort of thing. And then how that ultimately
And this is one that's not necessarily, this is just about the community in general. This is not one, I mean, I don't sell stuff on the secondary, so it's not something that I have particular experience with other than hearing the stuff or whatever. Do you want to explain what we're talking about?
Yeah, basically that, like, you know, people will say they've got a knife brand new in box and, you know, sell it to another person, yada yada. And but then, you know, it's maybe it is, you know, maybe they've never used it to cut anything, or maybe they've never put it in their pocket and it jingled around with their keys, so there's no way of knowing. But they've also, you know, wrist flicked it 400 times a night while they're sitting there watching Desperate Housewives or whatever, you know, like, sorry, I went a little bit your way there.
That's so true. No, I love it.
But yeah, that, and you know, not necessarily, but mainly not, telling other people, like, you know, hey, you know, put a scratch on it. I, you know, cut through a cardboard box and there was a, you know, staple in it or whatever. And, or, you know, but just saying like, this is how it came. This is brand new in box, and not owning up to their own things and, you know, sort of just passing the buck along. And that buck ultimately stops with us, the manufacturers, because, you know, the person who bought it on the secondary, the person who sold it said it was brand new in box. That's how it came from the factory. And all they know is that's, you know, they're just taking them at their word. And then they see something that is not up to what they perceive as standard, and it may not be, but that's also probably not how it left the factory or the shop or whatever, you know, version of that is. So,
yeah, that's, and that happens a lot, guys. So like the, and this is the part that kills me about it is, and it's not always, but it's a big percentage of the time. You'll have somebody that'll contact us about a QC issue. And I say QC with quotation marks, a QC issue. Yep. And I bought this from the secondary, but it was brand new in box, never used. And so, but it has a, and I'm like, well, usually the first question we ask then is, well, did the seller tell you about this issue? And they're like, no. Well, so you're telling me that somebody sold you something that's brand new in the box, didn't disclose anything about an issue, you found an issue, but the first person you decide to blame is not the person that was not honest with you and that sold you the knife and didn't tell you it had an issue. They've already established that they're not trustworthy because they basically have already lied to you. But yet your first instinct is to blame the manufacturer, and it just has to be a problem that with their QC. Does that make any sense? Like, to me, that makes no sense, right? I mean, there's some things that could obviously, I mean, if you get something, it's got some kind of janky milling on it or something that obviously came from, you know, that, you know, the previous owner didn't put it on a mill and, you know, messed up the milling or something, then absolutely, right? But like something like one we get pretty frequently is because, especially with the Mac 2s, because of the way we make our detents, would be they would get them in and, I got this Mac 2 on the secondary, but the detent, I thought y'all had great detents. His detent's super weak. Like the blade just falls out of it. I'm like, well, yeah, that's because the person didn't tell you that them or whoever, if they weren't the first owner, that somebody along the line intentionally weakened the lock bar because they thought the detent was too strong. Because unfortunately, people know that that's a trick to do, and they do it, and then it gets passed off to the next person as brand new in box, and without disclosing that, hey, I tweaked some stuff, and then that basically hurts the company in that person's mind that just got that knife and thinks it's brand new in box. This is the way it came from the factory, and they get it out, and it's not what they expected. Well, who are they blaming? They're blaming us when somebody, it's like you said, it's not in the same condition it was when it left our shop. So, and that kind of stuff happens a lot. Like it's pretty common. So that
back when I was working for you, if we got one in for warranty, and I remember a couple times, like you would get it out over on your side of the shop and flip it open, and I'd be like, yeah, pivot's loose or something like that. from across the shop. I can't even see it. I haven't even touched it, but I'm like, yeah, pivot's loose.
Yep, and I remember that,
you know, just from the sound, cause I did it all day long. Like that was the sound I heard 1,000 times a day. So if it was slightly off, I could tell. And you know,
it was loose because the person had gotten it and adjusted it and then passed it off to somebody else with their adjustment on it. And, and the person thinks that that's the way it came from us. And then, so they contact us, which is fine. Yep. And we're glad to help you with your problem, but just know up front that if you're buying a knife on the secondary, there's a good chance, and it has a problem. Again, unless it's something super obvious that had to have come from the factory, like, you know, again, messed up milling or the blade bevels or uneven or something like that. Like then there's a good chance that the person that sold it to you is responsible, and that's why. So don't just automatically assume that the company is the bad guy here, because we've seen it a ton of times. And like when you're talking about with a loose pivot, that was obviously where somebody had adjusted and loosened the pivot, because number one, our pivots don't loosen up very, very often because we generally Loctite them pretty well. And they just don't really, it yeah. doesn't really happen very much, but so yeah, multiple times over the years, it's actually pretty common that we'll get one in. It's obvious that it's been messed with. You know, we get them in where somebody's, it's obvious that somebody has swapped the blade with a different one, which of course we do not, that's not okay. That's not, you know, automatically your warranty is voided. Like that's not, you can't do that. Yeah. And then, but you get it in yeah. and like everything about the fit up, the lip detent, the lockup, everything is wrong. And it's like, there's like, this is not the blade that came in this knife.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get a Corvette and, you know, immediately take the engine out and put a different engine in it and then send it back to Chevy. Like it don't
yeah, and then complain like that. That something's wrong with your drivetrain or whatever. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. This is not how this works. Like, but on the topic yeah. of the brand new inbox and like that whole thing, like the other part of this is back to leading what we talked about at the beginning, in it's how you approach it. If you're immediately like, hey, this knife is messed up, what's wrong with this thing? Like, what did you like, what's wrong with your QC? Why can't you make the knife right? When it's, you know, if you would have just been like, hey, I got this knife on the secondary and they said it was brand new in box, but it's got some issues and I'm kind of concerned about yep. it, you know, like
exactly and that's
approaching
all you
it like, yeah, yeah, you know,
yeah, it, but
that's more so what we're talking about.
Yeah. 9.5 times yeah. out of 10, the people that do that though, they try to hide the fact they got it on the secondary. Like we have a form yeah. on our site that you're supposed to fill out for service stuff, and it asks you where you got it from, right? And so if you bought it on the secondary, you're supposed to buy it on the secondary. And then we'll have people that will completely bypass that and just send us an email just straight to the email address to try to bypass that, to try not to tell us that they got it on the secondary. Like, and yeah. they'll word their emails very carefully. Like you can tell that they're trying to make it out like, you know, I just got a new McNeese or whatever, and it's the blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and then you ask them, you know, if they don't fill out the form correctly or whatever, if they don't give us the info like they're supposed to, it's the first thing we ask, where did you get it? And when then they'll come back and say, oh, on the secondary, I'm like, yep, I knew it. Like it's every time. Like so they know, but that goes back to kind of that whole, maybe not so much being a bully, but trying to take advantage of like somebody's warranty and stuff of like, they'll do everything they can to frame it as a warranty issue because they don't want to have to pay for it. And that's yeah. not fair to the company, guys. Like we're no. more than willing to, and I'll be honest with you, like even when we do work that's like not warranty and we charge for it, it is so little that like anybody acting stupid about that, it's just ridiculous. Like we charge yeah. so little. I mean, unless it's something like a full on blade replacement or a full on lock side replacement or something, like it's so reasonable that it's ridiculous. So like, it's honestly a slap in the face when people are trying to like get around it and try to, you know, make it out like it's a warranty issue when it's to us, it's obvious that it's not. And obviously it is to them too, or they wouldn't be trying to hide it. You know,
yeah.
that's the telltale sign when they're trying to hide it and be shady about it. Like, okay, like obviously that, you know, this is not a warranty issue. You're just trying to be cheap. So,
yeah. And I understand trying to be cheap, but also understand trying to be, you know,
yeah.
a good human being and, you know, having some
again, more. You're way more likely budget. To come out of it cheaper is if you just tell us what's going on up front and be like, hey, can you help yep. me with this? Like, you're going to come out way better like that than if you come in trying to be shady. Because, I mean, again, yeah. we're humans. You come in starting acting shady, our guard goes up immediately. Like, okay, somebody's trying to take advantage yeah. of us. Like, we're not, those people are not going to get the same kind of help that somebody that comes in being honest and polite is going to get. Just sorry. Again, I'm not built yeah. that way. Like that's, you know, so.
I
think the last
sort of on that ahead. Note. Oh, no. What were you going to say with the last one? I was going to say like with the secondary market and the, you know, people making modifications, people making, you know, sort of what they deem makes the knife better is the, I made it perfect. Like, you know, you made a good knife, yeah. but I made it perfect sort of
yep.
ideology or I guess trend that's going around. I mean, it's probably not just going around now. It's probably been a thing for a long time, but
yeah.
You know, the adding skiff bearings and the, oh, I gave it a,
or-
Yeah, I gave it a 12.5 degree edge with on, you know, down to 0.5 micron. Now it's perfect. It, you know, before it was just all right, but now it's perfect. And just sort of, I guess that's more of a pet peeve sort of rant than an etiquette sort of rant. But yeah,
it's one of those things. That's still, to my, in my opinion, kind of being a jerk. Like if you're going to be a supporter of a brand, like be a supporter of the brand. Like if you like that, because we've got a couple of those. It's like clockwork. Like they'll get, you know, and they want to claim to be big supporters of the brand and stuff, but like their whole thing is to get to buy the knives, typically on the secondary, put some bearings in them, maybe swap out like the pivots from some, you know, that are just off the shelf pivots that you can buy from the hardware people, you know, manufacturers and stuff that you can go on the websites and buy, and they'll slap those in there, you know, whatever. And now like, it was, you know, this was pretty, I like these pretty good, but now that, just like you said, now that I've got done this and this and this to it, it's awesome. Like this knife is perfect, whatever. Or the sharpening thing too. It's like, I mean, we sharpen all of our knives the same. Now, is it possible that, you know, it is human beings sharpening the knives. So is it possible that one comes out slightly sharper than the other? Sure, I guess so. But we use a very like calculated technique to do the knives, like up to how many, down to how many times we stripe it on the wheel and everything. So like, and we test every single one of them on like Uline catalog, thin, really thin catalog pages. Right. So like,
yep,
they're all pretty dang close. And I know how sharp they are because I cut myself on them regularly. But then you'll get the people that like, you know, again, with standards of sharpness or what, you know, we like a toothy edge. Some people think it's got to have a super mirror polished edge or it's not worth the crap or whatever. And so, yeah. Oh yeah. The factory edge came a little dull, but I had to, now that I've done blah, blah, blah. And then every time I see somebody make a comment like that, you know, what I go to their profile and see, they offer sharpening services. Shocker. Yeah. Like their whole reason for doing that, they're essentially putting us down, trying to say that our stuff's not sharp enough, but they're able to make it better so they can drum up business. Like it's almost 99% of the time, that's what, when you see somebody talking about the sharpening, that's what it is. They offer sharpening or whatever, or they at the very least think they're a sharpening guru, and they may be, but that doesn't mean the factory edge is bad just because you may like a whatever mirror polished edge or whatever. So yeah, that's annoying. It really is. As a maker or somebody that's proud of their products, like that's definitely annoying for somebody else to feel like they've got to essentially, it's almost like they have to put down your work to try to make something that they did better while still acting like they like your product and they're trying to support you. So it's a very kind of like underhanded, you know, kind of thing. Probably kind of the last thing I've got piggybacks off of that a little bit. And this is true. And this is not just by any means. This is true across the community. Every freaking page you go on, tons of people's posts, like guys, and I'm just going to tell y'all, like Amy, when she got into, you know, when she came full time in the business and she deals with it more now, I could not tell you how many times she has told me, she's like, oh my God, men are worse than freaking 12-year-old girls. I never would have thought it, but like they are so dramatic and so just over the top dramatic about everything. I would have never guessed it. And she's 100% right. Like, it's just the craziest stuff. People get so bent out of shape over something so simple or so stupid and act like it's just the end of the world or whatever. It's just this over dramatized, just like, guys, everything is not, you know, some major thing. You know what I mean? Like the example that always sticks to me with me is one, and this is several years ago. I saw a comment on one of our Mac 2s and somebody was saying something about, they were pretty much all positive. And one guy chimed in something about, oh yeah, those are cool, but the clips are garbage. I was like, okay, well, I was totally polite. I went on there and replied to him. I was like, hey, you mind telling me what it is you don't like about the clip? And so then he responded back and was like, he's like, oh, they're just not deep carry. Garbage was probably a little bit of a strong word. And I'm like, you think? Like, so because it's not the style clip that you like on a knife, you're calling it garbage. Like, come on now. That's like, and I see that kind of crap happen all the time. It's like, because it's not your, doesn't fit your opinion of what, whatever, you know, your particular thing that you like, then it's just like, we throw these words around, and this is true without getting too far into anything. This is true. It's really bad right now in our society in general, in the political spectrum and everywhere. People are so quick to throw out these super like dramatic terms about everything, right? Yes. Like, this is garbage because of that, or this is that, or you're this because you don't like this or whatever. It's like, guys, quit being so freaking dramatic. Like, we get it. I mean, you know, again, perfect example. That guy could have easily made his point by saying, yeah, those are awesome. I really prefer a deep carry clip. I wish they came with that, you know, from the factory. But other than that, I think it's awesome. Completely would have made his point. But instead, he says it's super dramatic. Well, then maybe somebody that's not that familiar with our stuff or whatever. I mean, who knows, when all it takes is some little comment like that for somebody to not even necessarily even go, because you also know how we're all guilty of it to a certain extent, of seeing a comment or something that somebody makes, and we don't necessarily even go and really like look at it and research it ourselves. That comment just sticks with us. And then we may never even look at that brand again because that one comment stuck with us, that somebody thought this part of it was garbage or whatever. When the person didn't even actually think that, they just chose to use that super dramatic term for no reason, and now you're literally potentially hurting somebody else's business and a brand that you claim that you like. You claim that you like their product. The only thing you don't like is, even if you literally thought the clip was garbage, like, is that really worth trying to hurt somebody's business over by being so freaking dramatic about it? Like, it's blown my mind too. I really started paying attention to it when Amy started talking about that. And yeah, it's bad. Like, we act like a bunch of freaking drama queens, guys. We need to do better. And I say we, because I'm probably, especially on here, when I get worked up, I'm probably guilty of it too. But like, we need to do better about that. We are way overly dramatic about stuff.
I agree. And I think that's, you know, like you said, just part of today's culture. You have to be the most extreme to, you know, sort of to stand out. Like you.
That's right. That's right. You want your comment to stand out. You want the attention. We all, you know, we live in an attention economy, and we all want our attention to be worth something, and, or, you know, we want the attention to feel like we're worth something or whatever. And yeah, for sure.
I mean, and we're all just, you know, we're trying to wade through the tsunami of information and, you know, comments and posts and stuff that is the internet, and, you know, trying to establish a foothold of some variety. And it's, you know, I understand it. I don't like it, but, you know, that's just
it's not cool. We all just need to, like, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about the written word and stuff in the beginning. Like, we all just need to tone it down, quit blowing things out of proportion. Like, think about how we're going to sound and how it might affect whoever, whether it's, you know, I'm coming at it from a business owner standpoint, but the same thing is true. Like, you know, we've all heard the saying, you know, talking about how when somebody maybe is a little bit short with you or something like that, you never know what that person's going through that day, right? They may have just lost they may have just lost their dog. They could have just lost a child, parent, whatever, you know? Well, on that same note, if you're responding to somebody's comment, and this is another thing I've seen, not so much in our industry, I don't feel like, but on the internet in general, people are so quick now to be like, somebody will post something that they don't agree with, and it's like, okay, dumbass, like whatever, like just hateful and, you know, name calling and stuff, just at the drop of a hat. Well, and sometimes at a comment, or just where somebody's expressing their opinion, they're not necessarily even being like, you know, the original person that made the comment that got responded to like that, maybe wasn't even necessarily trying to stir anything up or whatever. Well, how would you feel if you found out down the road that you got on there and made a reckless comment like that, and that person that you responded to like that was in a really bad place and caused them to do something like take their own life or something? And yes, I know that's extreme, but you never know what's going on in somebody's life. And I don't want to be responsible for even somebody, you know, making somebody have a bad day, you know,
yeah.
much less, you know, just by me being overly unthoughtful and dramatic about something. Like, we need to stop and think, guys. Like, you never know what the person on the other end of that comment that you're responding to. Now, again, I'm not saying if somebody comes on there and they're lighting you up and being a total jerk, I'm not saying you can't respond to them and give it back to them or whatever, because I guarantee you I will. Either that or I'll just ignore them and block them. Now is what I do most of the time. But
usually that's the easiest way to win. And as far as internet comment sections, is just
ignore and block them. Move on.
No sell, as they call it in wrestling terms, is the ultimate form of, you know, you just no sell and don't even let them show it affect you.
And right.
So.
Right. But for those people, like I said, because I've seen tons of stuff where people will post something that's just their opinion, or even just people posting, maybe not even an opinion, like people posting their products and stuff, and then people just ragging on them and telling them it's total garbage or nobody'd ever do that, blah, 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 blah. Like, do y'all know, like, what you could be doing to that person? Like, I mean, that person may already be in a very vulnerable place, and, you know, you could have just, you also could have taken somebody that maybe was getting ready to, that could have turned whatever they're doing into something great, and instead, now they focus on your negative comment, and maybe they never go on and build whatever it is that they were going to build and contribute to society like they could have, all because of a couple of mean girl comments online. Like, you know, I don't think that you should give in to that kind of crap. Don't get me wrong, but not everybody has the strength of spirit. You know, not everybody's strong enough emotionally to be able to handle that kind of stuff. And people throw it around just willy nilly. Like, it's just, it's pretty sickening to me to see. And again, I'm talking about more the broader internet than I am our community. I don't see too many people. I see people get on there making negative comments and being very unthoughtful about stuff inside our community, but not as much of the, like, name calling and that kind of stuff. But just in general, guys, we just all need to take a step back, think about how we're coming across, quit being so freaking dramatic about everything, and, you know, state the problem or state the issue or your opinion or whatever without making it the most dramatic sounding thing that you can possibly make it. Like, just if you have to make it that dramatic to get somebody's attention, then you probably don't have a very valid point in the first place, just to be honest with you. Like, if you've got a valid point, your point in any tone is going to get it across, right? Even in a nice tone. So,
if you have to resort to insults to win an argument, your argument is probably not that good. Yeah.
Right. So if you have to resort to being overly dramatic to make a point, you probably don't have a valid point.
Yeah.
So anyway, basically it really honestly does kind of all boil down. And I'll be honest, a lot of this, wanting to talk about this today, has come from the broader temperature of the country and society, and especially the online portion of it, as much or more than it has anything to do with our community. Like, we all know of recent events and all the things that's happening and all the division and all the horrible comments going flying in every direction that like, we just need to all take a minute and step back and remember to try to be nice to each other. Like, that's kind of the root of this whole discussion today in my mind. So,
agreed.
Yeah. I don't know. If somebody doesn't agree with that, they probably need to do some soul searching, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But you got anything else on this particular discussion?
No. I'm good. I exercised my demons today. I'm good. Like I said, it was as much because of the overall temperature of society as anything, but just felt like a good time to try to remember to bring us all back down to earth and try to be nice and kind to each other. So,
for sure.
I guess I don't know that we're going to have a podcast. No, let's see. We should have one next week.
Yeah.
We'll have one next week, and we may be able to squeeze an extra one in and, or at least have something. We're tossing around some ideas to have at least like some little short versions to fill in some of the weeks when we're at a show or something like that. So,
Because it's going to get rough with you being out of town a couple weeks in a row here. So yeah, we're trying to come up with some ideas to keep some sort of content. May not be full long form traditional podcast, but at least some sort of, you know, maybe shorter segments, or, you know, maybe just me or maybe just Jonathan talking, you know, that way we could, you know, sort of not have to rely on just on working out each other's schedules and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. May start throwing some different stuff at you. So, but guys, we really, really appreciate all of you. And again, every time, I already know what's going to happen at Blade West, like people coming up and talking about the podcast. I'm blown away. Even the comments online, but especially in person, like I'm just blown away how many people come up and say something about the podcast. Cause to me, it's just kind of hard to believe that many people are actually listening to this. And I have no idea how many people it actually is. I'll be honest, I haven't even been really looking at like the analytics and stuff. So it's super cool. And we appreciate you guys. And we appreciate you participating and commenting on our stuff. And keep in mind, that stuff helps, guys. Comment on our stuff. The bigger we can grow the show, the more stuff we'll be able to offer to include, you know, interviewing more guests and all that. So, you know, the bigger following we have, the more people are going to want to come on here and talk, you know, to get exposure. So you can help us by helping us grow the show. That will allow us to get, you know, guests and things like that. So we really appreciate it, and please continue to help us grow it.
Yes. One quick thing. You mentioned possibly having stickers of the new logo. Are those going to be done for
Mitchell West? Done. I have them. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think to have them here so I could show you, but they're basically just a round sticker of the new logo. They're pretty sweet. So yeah, we will have those and we'll have some of the Knife Freak show, the WWF style that you did up. We'll have some of those,
NWO, yes,
as giveaways. Yeah. We'll be giving away stickers and shirts at Salt Lake City. So guys, please come by and, load up on some swag.
Yes, for sure.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Let your freak flag fly.